this coming Shabbos, so during the Kriyas HaTorah and during the Haftorah, we will engage in very unique minhagim that we do not find the rest of the year, in which we will change the tune and the niggun and how we read part of the laning and also how we read the Haftorah itself. And I think what we're going to posit today is that within the minhagim of changing the tunes for the laning and changing the tunes for the Haftorah, we find an incredibly powerful lesson regarding how we need to approach Tisha B'Av, which is coming upon us very soon, and a certain aspect of tshuva and a certain midah that certainly needs to be worked on, by myself included. The Rav Yah, in his Halachos on Megillah in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi Hei, writes that the minhag is to read the Haftorah by Shabbos Chazon in the tune of Eicha. He writes, "V'Haftorah deChazon Yeshayahu Nahagu LeKrosa B'Nigun Kina." The minhag is to read it in the tune of the Kina of Yirmiyahu Navi, which is the tune of Eicha. And he says, "V'Inyan Avelus," who it is a matter of Avelus, some sort of mourning that's attached to it. It's also cited by the questioner in the Tshuva of the Rivash in Siman Kuf Yud Beis. He writes as follows: "V'Kara Mikra Shiyom Shabbos Chazon LaHaya Mishiyodei LaHaftir." It turns out that there was a person on Shabbos that they didn't only had one person who was available to read the Haftorah, Ela Echad Sha'ala B'Kriyas HaTorah, but that person already got an aliyah, and they didn't know whether they could give him an aliyah again to read from the maftir. And without him, we would not have anybody else to read the Haftorah in the tune of the konein, in the tune of the tune that's read for Eicha. And therefore we see already early in the Rishonim we have such a concept to read the Haftorah in such a tune. This is cited by the Magen Avraham in Reish Pei Beis, by the Halachas of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, and the Aliyah Rabbah, and the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Chav Zayin, there in Reish Pei Beis as well. This is the meaning of Klal Yisrael, to read the Haftorah in the tune of Eicha. Now, how does it play out? What are the exact parts? So the way it would work is follows. If you were looking in a Navi, so the first Pasuk in Yeshayahu would be read normally, and then Pasuk Beis until Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15, until the words of Yedeichem Dam Melav, so that would Meleu, that would be the end of where you read with the tune of Eicha, and then you read from Tes Zayin until Yud Tes in the regular tune, and then you pick up again on Chaf to Chaf Gimel 20-23 in the tune of Eicha, and then you conclude again in the tune of Torah. So it begins regular, then Eicha, then regular, and then Eicha, and then you conclude in the regular tune. Now, it is well known that the Chazon Ish was not a fan of this minhag. This is cited in all the svarim that deal with the minhagim of the Chazon Ish, whether it's Orchos Rabbeinu and Chelek Beis, or the Dinim Venhagos of the Chazon Ish, or the Maisa Ish and Chelek Aleph. All of them cite that the Chazon Ish was not a fan of this minhag because he felt it was avelus befarhesya. He says if on Shabbos a person is going to be wearing their Shabbos clothing, then certainly we should not have any public mourning in the form of the tunes that we would read the Haftorah from.
It all depends if you're actually wearing your Shabbos clothing.
True, but I think the general minhag is that we wear Shabbos clothing. So he says, if that's the minhag of Olam, is to wear Shabbos clothing, so therefore, it would seem to be that it seems to go against the idea of not having Avelus Befarhesya on Shabbos. And the Shita of the Chazon Ish is not alone. It's also a Shita of the Radvaz, which is cited by the Chida and the Birka Yosef, and in other places as well, the Chida seems to hold of this Shita as well. He's not alone, but certainly is in the minority, especially regarding one statement from the Meiri. The Meiri wrote a sefer called the Magen Avos. What's the Magen Avos about? The Magen Avos was written to defend the Minhagim of Provence. The Meiri was the Minhagim of Provence were being attacked, and the Meiri wrote a sefer called Magen Avos, the protection of the fathers, to show that the Minhagim of that community were correct and valid in how they were being performed. And within this discussion there, in Siman Chaf Dalet, so the Meiri says as follows. He explains that in the name of the Gonim, that even though Hesped is not allowed on Shabbos, on this Shabbos, on the Shabbos of Shabbos Chazon, a person is allowed to engage in this minhag to read in a way that's mekonein, and read in a way that's going to be slightly mourning. Why? Because this is a form of tshuva. To remember, the Chorban is part of tshuva, and tshuva is permitted on Shabbos. I will return to this idea later on, that tshuva is allowed on Shabbos, even if it brings a sense of sadness. Tshuva is certainly permitted on Shabbos. There's also a tshuva from the Hisoros tshuva. So the Hisoros tshuva writes in He writes in Simon Shin Nun Dalad. He says, Chazina l'Rabbanon kashishai shaharidu kenachal dima. It's not on the sheets. I saw that there are great Rabbanim. Their eyes would be crying when they would read this Haftorah on Shabbos. V'lechora halo mara avelus befarhesi b'Shabbos. Aren't we publicly showing avelus on Shabbos? V'chaneini Hashem yisbarach teretz Hashem. Perhaps will give me an answer. Masvik halo mikra male. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Techarvi Yushalayim al shechilu Shabbos. Yushalayim was destroyed because they violated Shabbos. Va'anu mis'ablim va'osim tshuva al avon chil Shabbos. And when we cry during the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, we're crying over the chil Shabbos that occurred. V'zem mikdushas oso hayom atzmo shemutu ba'osu Shabbos. Perprat shenizkor avon osin v'chil Shabbos. That we're reminding ourselves of not keeping Shabbos properly. Va'anu shenizkor chozim b'tshuva. U'mutzer l'fishu tzorech hayom Yom Shabbos. And therefore says the Soros Tshuva, certainly Tshuva is allowed on Shabbos, and therefore it is certainly acceptable to read the Haftorah in this tune. That is one minhag. We'll put that on the side. That's the minhag of reading the Haftorah in the tune of Eicha. The next is the minhag to sing the Pasuk in Aleph Yud Beis of Dvarim, the Pasuk of Eicha, Asalav Adi Tarchechem, Maschem, Rivchem, in the tune of Eicha. So where does this come from? So the earliest mention is in a comment of the Eishel Avram, the Buchach Rav, in Simen Kof Lamed Ches. But really it's based practically on a comment at the very beginning of the Eicha Rabasi, after the Hakdamas of the Medrash, the first Simen. This is what the Medrash says. Parsha Aleph. Eicha Yashva. So says the Medrash, Shlosha Nisbu Belashon Eicha. There are three people who engaged in a form of using the word Eicha. Moshe, Yeshaya, and Yirmiyah. Moshe, what did he say? Eicha asal levadi. Yeshaya said Eicha haisal lezona. And Yirmiyah said Eicha yashva bada, that Yerushalayim sits alone. So Amar Rav Levi Mashal Matrona Shayula Shlosha Shushbinim. It was like a very distinguished woman who had three attendants to her. Echad ra'osa b'shalvasa. One attendant saw her in her beauty. Echad ra'osa b'pachzusa. One saw her on her descent when she was getting not so distinguished anymore. V'echad ra'osa b'nivla. And the last attendant saw her when she was at her lowest point. Kach Moshe ra es Yisrael, so to Moshe saw Yisrael, b'chvodam v'shalvasam v'amar eicha asal avadi tarchechem. He saw the Jewish people when they were great, on their highest point. We'll get to this idea later on. Yishaya ra usab b'pachzusam, Yishaya saw her on her descent, v'amar eicha haisal azonah, she's like a harlot. Yirmiyah ra usam b'nivlam, v'amar eicha yashva, and Yirmiyah saw that finally at her lowest point, alone, without anyone, with her Yushalayim, in the dumps. And therefore, it's very clear that there's some sort of connection between the Eicha of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Eicha of Yirmiyah and Yeshayahu, all coming together on this Shabbos. So what is the Eishel Avram right? What is the Buchacha right? He says, Akore Kefal HaPasuk Shnei Pasuk Eicha Esol Levadi. He brings a sheet that you're supposed to read that Pasuk again beforehand. We'll get to that in a second. And he says, Mitzad Shesayim Lekoyin Samach LePasuk Eicha. We don't want the Aliyah, the Rishon, or the Sheni to begin or end with this Pasuk of Eicha. V'ayedei Sheminaginin Eicha. Because we sing this Pasuk of Eicha Ke'eicha de Megillah, like the tune that we find in Megillas Eicha. And this is cited in the Orchos Chaim, the Spinka, in Kuflam and Ches, and also in Lekutei Mariach and Chelik Beis as well. This is the meaning of Klal Yisrael, to change the tune when it comes to this pasuk in Dvarim. The minhag, I think, by Yekis is not to change, and also I think the minhag by most Chassidim is also not to change as well, but for the rest of us, so in our shuls we do change it. Because the idea is we want to end on a good note, right? So if you look with the Aliyah of Kohen ends at the Pasuk Yud, which is the Pasuk of Kechochvei Hashemayim LaRov, which is two Pasukim before Pasuk Yud Beis, because we don't want to end at Pasuk Yud Aleph, because that would cause Levi to begin on this negative note, referencing the idea of Eicha. And this is based on idea at the beginning of Simen Kuf Lamed Ches in the Ramah. The Ramah says you want to be maschil, you want to begin with something good, and you also always want to end with something good as well when it comes to learning. What's the source of this? Well, it's the Yerushalmi and Megillah in the third parak, but it's also found in the Yalkut Shimoni, where the Yaakov Shimoni writes on Koheles. He says, the Pasuk Koheles says, Al tamod b'davar ra, da poseach poseach b'davar tov. Don't end with something bad, don't begin with something bad, only with something good. There's also a beautiful idea in the Torah Lishma, of the Ben Ishchai. The Torah Lishma is not, you don't know the Torah Lishma is written by the Ben Ishchai because he wrote it under a pseudonym. He has a different name when he signs his tshuvos there, but the meaning is that the Ben Ishchai wrote it. So the Torah Lishma, in Siman Tuf Mem Hei, he says that if you look in the famous piece in Koheles of Ace, of Kol Zman La'Ace, every single thing in the world has a time, so you'll notice that the entire paragraph begins with something good and ends with something good. The first thing that's mentioned is L'Kol Zman La'Ace, Ace La'Ledes, having a child, that's something good. And the last thing of that paragraph is Ace Shalom, a time of peace. And therefore, says the Torah Lishma, we see that when it comes to referencing things, you always want to begin with something good, having a child is good, and Shalom, ending with something that is good as well. So a raya to the fact that when we come to laning, we want to begin with something good, and we want to end with something good as well. Now, there is a challenge to this idea. The Leket Yosher. The Leket Yosher is the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen. He was kind of like the first person to write down every single thing that his Rebbe said and then publish a sefer. So the Leket Yosher on page Kuf Tes, on page 109, all the paginations of the Leket Yosher follow the original one. So even on the new editions, you look it up by page 109. So says the Leket Yosher, the Parshas Eila HaDvarim Rotsa HaKorei LaHaniach Parsha Rishona KeChofei HaShemayim LaRov. The Baal Kore wanted to end Rishon at the Pasuk of KeChofei HaShemayim LaRov, as we find in our Chumashim, as we do in our Shuls. V'amar Hayu Mesayim Kashir Diber Lachem. And the Trumas Hadeshim said, So the Trumas Hadeshim said, no, you need to end Kashir Diber Lachem. You need to end at the Pasuk right before the Pasuk of Eicha begins, which seems to be against this idea to end with something that is good. So for Amar Benos, the Trumas Hadeshim's son said to him, Eich Shaykh Lahaskel B'Peranos Gagun Eicha. How are we going to begin the second Aliyah with the concept of Eicha? How could that be appropriate according to what we know? V'amar Kain Shamem Mirabo, the reign of Aaron Zecher Tzarek V'Kadosh L'Bracha. This is Rav Aaron Plumel, who is the Rebbe of the Trumas Hadeshen. So he said, it was actually his uncle as well. So he says, Kedei Lahakdim Eicha Shal Moshe Kodem Eicha Shal Yirmiya. Because you want to put the Eicha of Moshe Rabbeinu before the Eicha of Yirmiya. And that's it. That's all he says. A very confusing line. You want to put the Eicha of Moshe before you have the Eicha of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. What does that even mean? How does that even answer the question? A very confusing statement from the Trumas Hadeshen. So there is a medrash in the Psicha to Eicha Rabasi. It says that the Eicha in our Parshim, Parshas Devarim, is really a good thing. Because Moshe is saying, look how great Klal Yisrael is. They're so wonderful, I have to do so much for them. I have to give them, you know, teach them Torah. I can't handle it, there's so much. I just can't deal with it, you know. They're just too good for me to handle. That's the opinion of the Psicha to the Eicha Rabasi. But I'd like to, and perhaps what he's saying here, is that this reference of Moshe Rabbeinu talking in the Pasuk is not negative. It's a good thing. So what does it mean that, why shouldn't I end with the, or begin with the Pasuk of Eicha? Because Moshe is praising Klal Yisrael. But the problem with that explanation is that what does that have to do with Yirmiyahu HaNavi? Okay, so it's good. So why do you want to have it before the Eicha of Yirmiyahu HaNavi on Tisha B'Av itself? So I'd like to suggest, B'derech Efshar, an explanation of what the Leket Yosher is saying here, in the name of his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen. There is a Ramban on this week's Parsha, on this Pasuk. Says the Ramban here, Amar, Tarchechem keneged v'hodasi eschukei helohim v'es Torah sav. This Tarchechem is a reference to all of the Torah. Ki Torah gadol hayalam ed l'yotze mitzrayim hachukim v'atorah sapirushim biram l'usodam. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I was so much Torah. I taught you so much. It was a tircha, but it was geshmak teaching you all this Torah. And then Moshe says, "V'hizkir masachem keneged lidrosh Elohim shu inyan tefila shemispal aleihem." The next thing is that I had to daven so much for you. I gave you such great things. It was geshmak. It was difficult, but I davened for you, and it was really incredible. And then the last thing is v'rivchem. Kipshuto in Yarei HaMishpatim. You guys came with shailas, you guys came with issues to discuss, and I adjudicated them, and you listened to me, and it was a lot of work, but it was really enjoyable. And says the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu, without knowing it, is praising himself, right? He's Adam Mikol Adam, but Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I taught you so much Torah, I davened for you so much, and I answered all your shailas so well. Moshe Rabbeinu is, in a sense, giving himself a pat on the back when it comes to describing his relationship with Klal Yisrael. And if that's the case, I think it could be as follows. That before we read Yirmiah's words in describing the downfall of Klal Yisrael, we need to know where we came from. We need to see the Yeridas Hadoros. So says the Trumas Hadashen, you need to put Moshe Rabbeinu before you discuss Yirmiyahu Navi. Because you're just going to open up Eicha, or you're going to open up Yishayahu, and what are you going to say? Jewish people didn't do well, they're on the bottom, everything's going wrong, they stink, they're terrible, nothing's good. But then you're going to say, so what? What were they like beforehand? So you are makdim in this week's parsha with the Eicha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you look at Moshe Rabbeinu and you see what a leader we had. You see what a Talmud Chacham we had. What an inspiration we had. Look at the generations of Klal Yisrael in the desert. Look what they accomplished. Look at what they were. The Dor HaMidbar. They were untouchable almost. And we look at Moshe Rabbeinu and we see how great Klal Yisrael were. And then we turn to the Haftorah of Yeshayahu, we turn to Yirmiyahu HaNavi's words in Eicha, and we see, look how far we have fallen. And therefore, again, B'derech Afshar, it's not that the Trumas Hadeshen is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's words are positive, but rather it's Tochacha. You need to make sure that we're going to read these words so that we see how far we've fallen. And therefore, why is it allowed on Shabbos? Why is this okay on Shabbos? Because of a comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. Writes the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yigimel, Pasuk Hei. Kol ha'ola likros batorah, poseach b'davar tov, m'sayim b'davar tov. The Rambam writes, as we know, when you go to get an aliyah, you open up with something good and you end with something good. Aval parshas ha'azinu. But Parshas Ha'azinu is different. And the Rambam goes on to explain that if you look at the aliyahs by Parshas Ha'azinu, it's not so good what we end to begin with. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving harsh mussar to Klal Yisrael. And why is that okay, says the Rambam at the end of the halacha? V'lama poskim ba b'anyanos elu? Why is it okay for Ha'azinu to end and begin on these matters? V'pnei shehen tochacha k'dei she'achzeru ha'am b'tshuva. Because it's mussar. And therefore, says the Rambam, on Shabbos, you're allowed to give and to, you're allowed to have the aliyahs begin now with Paranios if it's Tochach, if it's Musar, if we need to grow from it. And therefore, says the Trumas Hadeshen, you're going to end Rishon, or you're going to begin Sheni with the Pasuk of Eicha. Why? Not because it's sad, because it's Musar. Because you need to see how far we've fallen and how much we need to go back to the levels of the Dor HaMidbar. And therefore, not that it's something that's good, but the opposite. It's Musar to Klal Yisrael to motivate us. When we end Rishon or Sheni, says the Trumas Hadeshen, we need to see, how far we have fallen, how far we need to go to get back to that level. A possible explanation. Nevertheless, it's a very nice drush, but we don't paskin like the Trumas Hadeshen, and we do end the Aliyah two psukim beforehand, and this is what's cited by the Eish Lavram. And Lakute Mariach says that even in all communities, whether or not you sing the tune to Eich or not, you end the pasuk two psukim before pasuk Yudbeis, and that is the Minhag Olam. Now, I'd like to give or show another suggestion to what's going on here with the changing of the tunes when it comes to reading the Torah this Shabbos. There is an amazing comment of the Shemi Shmuel here. I brought it for you to look inside. It's important to see what he says. The Shemi Shmuel, this is on Daf Lamed in the printings that we have, and he cites his father, the Avnezer, and he says, V'nir al pi divrei Maharal. He cites a concept of the Maharal. I couldn't find this concept of the Maharal inside anywhere. I assume it's somewhere. If anyone sees it or knows it, please let me know. The Maharal says, Shapirud halavavos shibisrael eno mitzad chisaram. The fact that there are different personalities, there are different intellects, there are different people, people do things differently, there are different shitas in Klal Yisrael, it doesn't mean that it's something that's lacking or bad. Ela mitzad hamayla, it's a positive of the Jewish people. Ba'asher heim sichliim, we're intellectual, we think, we use our minds, we're independent. We know how to argue, we know how to say what we think and how we feel. V'ein da'asan shel b'nei adam shavos. And no Jew is the same. Each Jew is an am kashe oref. We're stiff-necked, we have our opinions, and we stand up for what we believe in. Says the Shem Yishmuel, V'yesh la'vin halo pirut halavavos nechshav l'cheit v'bayisheni nechrav machma sinas chinam. V'eich l'cha chisaron gadol mizeh. What's the Maharal talking about? The whole Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Pir Halavavos, because of people who couldn't get along because of Sinas Chinam. How is that a good thing? V'nira shachisaru nitzmach machmas shishtamshu b'mal asam zu l'nyanim chumriyim. Because they use their intellect, they use their mind for physical base things. V'nimshachu mimena eva v'sina ubaim hishtamshu b'malasam zu binyanim hasichlim lo hayin nimshachim yizeh kolela. If the Jewish people would have used their mind and their intellect for spiritual things, to debate on a high level, to talk about matters that are important, about Torah, about intellectual things, then the Churban never would have happened. Adarabba, he quotes the famous Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Es v'hav b'sufa. The Gemara is there talking about machlokas and parents and children, Rebbeim learning together. And the Gemara here is quoting a pasuk which is talking about Kriyas Yamsuf and Yamsuf, and it makes a drasha. Ahava b'sofa. That in the end, even though they're arguing and they're fighting, when there's a machlokas in the Beis Medrash, at the end, they love each other. In the end, there's love. And the whole chisaron came from the great koach the Jewish people had. We're so high intellectually, but we just misused the great power we have. Look at the praise. He says, you are so great. You're so harbe. V'zoi malasam. It's a praise. There are so many people of you who are on such a high level. V'medrash drash b'mikra od yosef b'malasam shal Yisrael. The Medrash brings other great things about Klai Yisrael. The Malkein eicha zehi b'shlosam. It's a warning from Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. You people are great. You're harbe, but don't use it for tirchos, masos, veribos. Don't use your intellect for dvarim chumrim, for physical things. That's going to bring the galos once more, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is warning Klal Yisrael. You guys have a lot of kochos. You guys are very smart. But if you use it the wrong way, it's going to bring galos. The great koach you have is going to end up being your downfall. Okay, nikra b'nigun megillas eicha. And therefore, we read this pasuk in the tune of Megillas Eicha, hamedaber b'nivlom, which is talking about our downfall. When we read the pasuk of Eicha this coming Shabbos, we need to hear the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, you guys had so much koach, you had so much potential, but you used your mind, you used your mouth, you used your heart for all the wrong reasons. It was all there. You had all the kochos. You just messed up. And therefore, we read the pasuk of potential praise in the tune of Eicha to show us that we didn't meet what we were supposed to do. Amazing, amazing words from the Avnei Nezer and the Shem Mishmuel. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has a drash on Parshas Kuchas, Parshas Chukas in Tufshin Ayin, 5770. And he's also talking about the Gemara and Kedushin, and he just writes really a beautiful idea regarding the idea of machlokes and peace and harmony in Torah. I'm just going to bring out some of his ideas. He notes that the Beis Medrash is an area of ideas, an area where we're supposed to learn and fight. And it's not necessarily a place of peace and harmony as anyone who's spent any time sitting in a Beis Medrash. And he says, when we speak about Chazal, we always talk about their Bar Plugta. We always say Hillel and Shammai. They're never separate. Abai and Rava, Rav and Shmuel. The Bar Plugta is always mentioned. Why? Because part of being a great person is having that person to spar with intellectually, to debate ideas, to discuss, to argue. And he says that the entire purpose of learning Gemara and not learning Shulchan Aruch is to learn the machlokas. That's why we don't sit around learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch all day, because we need to engage in the machlokas, the debates, the back and forth, using intellect to fight with one another. And he notes the Rambam tried to get rid of all the machlokas. Correct, right? The Mishnah Torah is essentially the Gemara, and all the Midrashei Chazal of Halacha just cut out with all the machlokas. And he says, what happened? The Rambam, it came back to bite him, because his book turned in to the greatest source of machlokas in Limud HaTorah. There's no sefer after the Rambam which has more machlokas discussing every single word. The Rambam wanted to remove machlokas from Talmud Torah, and lehefech, it came back that there's more machlokas over his sefer than any other sefer published in the history of Klal Yisrael. And he quotes, he says, in Judaism, argument is not an accident, but of the essence. It is what we are about. We're supposed to use our minds for the right reason. He says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a skama when he says, Elu ve'elu dibri el kimchaim, right? Whenever there's a machlokas in Shas or in Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, this is what I think, guys, stop fighting, it's not nice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Elu ve'elu, keep on fighting, keep on going. I'm not going to tell you how to decide. And he quotes, he says, when it comes to matters of the spirit, if you need force to win, you have already lost. The other side of this is that if a person is not able to argue on the points, to argue and debate the issues, and they have to lead to belittling one another and arguing on points that are silly, and if, God forbid, they have to go to physical violence, then you know that this is not a machlokas l'shem shemayim. It's not using that koach that Moshe Rabbeinu praised. I thought B'derech Efshar Arai is as follows. The Gemara in Gidin Nun Vav says that after the discussion between Bar Kamsa and his host, so what happened? He didn't get up and leave. Bar Kamsa didn't get up and leave. What happened? The Gemara says, Nakte b'yadye v'ukme b'afke, that he grabbed him, the host grabbed Bar Kamsa by the hand. He put a hand on another Jew. To imagine such a thing. He grabbed someone in his house. You have a guest over at your house, and things aren't going well, and you grab him by the hand, and you yank him out of your house. To put a hand on another Jew. And this is exactly what Rabbi Sacks is saying. The moment that he touched this other Jew, and he turned into violence and physical confrontation, the machlokus was over. It wasn't a debate over ideas or shitos or like that. The moment it turned to physical violence, it wasn't l'shem shemayim anymore. And he says the sign is sinas chinam, is where there's physical violence or you lose the points. Es v'hav b'sufa means that the two sides fight, but without weapons. And they show the value of pure halavavos. We have different shitas, we argue, we debate what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, but we don't turn it into a brawl. And this is just a beautiful point that Rabbi Sacks points out. The Shem Yishmuel is telling us that the tune of Eicha in Parshas Devarim is that our pure halavavos went wrong. There was certainly a Yeridas Hadoros. A Yeridas Hadoros from, as the Ramban points out, where Moshe Rabbeinu taught us Torah, he davened for us. We're missing out on the machloksim of Hillel and Shammai, Rav and Shmuel, Abai and Rava. Those are the Yeridas Hadoros that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to. Go back to those times when people could debate and argue on opinions and shitos, and you didn't have to lead to name-calling or debasing someone in public. You made valid points, you argued, and you loved the other person at the end of the day. And this is the message of the tune of Eicha in our parsha, the Yeridas Hadoros, and the misuse of the Koach HaSeichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Seichel HaYashar, a God-given intellect, in order to grow, in order to inspire the other people, to inspire ourselves. But we find sometimes that the smartest people can have the sharpest tongues. And if that sharp tongue is misused in the wrong way, it can cause tremendous damage. And a person who has that intellect, and everyone here has that intellect, needs to be aware that you need to use that intellect in a proper way. To not use it to bring about disagreements, to not exclude people from cliques, to in a way push them out and say, you're not part of our group, to not misuse it, and to have snarky remarks when someone says something to put them down. Using our mouth is bad enough. God knows what goes on in computers and email and things like that and text messages. I once heard from Rabbi Eli Mansour. He said that a person might say something very nice to their face, but when it comes to email or text messaging, so they'll write the most vile, disgusting things. So he says, this is HaKol Kol Yaakov V'yadayim De Esav. You have the Kol of Yaakov, but your hands are like Esav. So we have to be so careful. A person is a talented writer, and they can, you know, write beautifully. Use that intellect in writing for good. Don't use it to shut someone down and to close people out of Klal Yisrael. Again, the message of the tune of Eicha on Pasuk Yud Beis of this week's Parsha is that we have tremendous Seichel, and don't abuse it to cause more Chorban and to prevent the building of the Beis HaMikdash from here v'yameinu. Amen.